You're listening to Cold OD Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at coldod.org.
I was asked to mention, Michael wanted me to mention, in our hands, recapturing of Jerusalem 67. It's a film tonight in Green Hills, you say? Tuesday, okay. Okay, for the 50th year, all right. They say it's a one-night showing. I'm kind of skeptical. I'm saying, are they going to just say that and then bring it back? But hopefully, maybe only one night, so you might, you want to catch that. I don't know the quality of it, but hopefully it's accurate. I can't vouch for it because I haven't seen it. But I'm sure it's worth seeing. I'm sure it's very worth seeing. And then, I'm excited about Rabbi Michael Stepakov. I think Owen mentioned it, mentioned him coming in a couple weeks, but he's also an attorney as well as a rabbi and just a great brother. His brother lives here who's not a believer yet, is in music. Why would you come to Nashville for music? So he's visiting his brother, but he's going to be speaking next week. And I'm super excited as well about McKedem coming in July 11th. They will be here, and we want to pack this out. It's a Tuesday night. We want to have standing room only for McKedem when they come. Best Israeli band you'll ever hear. Praise the Lord. So, okay, today is the, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Jonathan or anyone that knows, follows this more clearly, the Sefirat HaOmer, the counting of the Omer. This is the 39th day, 40th as of tonight. Is that right? Matt's right? Okay, John. that's the measure of grain which we count from 1 to 50, literally. We count days from the first day after Pesach, or Passover, up to Shavuot, the festival of weeks in the Bible. And on day one, Israel was to bring the first sheaf of her harvest to the Kohen, to the priest, as it says in Leviticus 23:10, when the temple was standing. On day 50, she was to bring an offering of new grain to the Lord on Shavuot. What's Shavuot? Let's say Shavuot. It's the Feast of Pentecost, or Feast of Weeks. So let's say the blessing. Have it on the slide up there. Let's say, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al sefirat haomer. Okay. Praise the Lord. And so there's the blessing. Again, today would be the 39th day after which Yeshua died as our Pesach lamb. So question, could it have been the day on which he ascended, or really tomorrow, could it have been the day on which he ascended to the heavens after 40 days of teaching them? Acts 1:3 says. Maybe, maybe not, but let's go back and look at it, and let's imagine being there for the Messiah's ascension and what took place. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Let's look at Acts 1. And Luke writes, I wrote the first volume, Theophilus, about all that Yeshua began to, what? What are those two things? Do and teach. Let's say to do and teach. To do and teach, okay? So speaking and action. When you think of someone who you admire, who impacted your life, what do you remember about them? What do you remember about them? Do you remember really what they said, and also what they did? The did really is first, what they do. And so think about that. He records here what Yeshua did, but what he taught. Both go together. And that's why I loved this trip to Israel, seeing things like the beautiful land initiative that was mentioned, where they're cleaning up the beaches. Jordan from nearby here started this project. And it's such a great way of opening doors to testifying about Yeshua as we do and teach. Up to the day, it says, verse 2, that he was taken up. The Greek word analambano, I won't have you say that, analambano, is also in verse 11 of the chapter. It says he was taken up after he had given orders by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to the Shlichim, or the apostles, the sent ones he had chosen. So this word means to receive up, and I'll give you more on this later, to receive up. Very amazing. But did you realize that Messiah's ascension was actually predicted and specified by the prophet Isaiah in the Tanakh some 700 years plus before his coming, and also his death on a tree and his resurrection from the dead? I'm going to show you. And all in one specific verse of scripture. Look at Isaiah chapter 52. I have this handwritten in my notes because I just discovered this yesterday as I looked up the Hebrew. I was amazed. I got very excited. Isaiah 52, verse 13. It says, 52:13, "Behold my servant." You all there? Behold, this is, of course, before Isaiah 53. It's, of course, chapters were divided much later. Initially, just the scroll. This is all one portion. "Behold my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted." All right, behold, let's say hine, and the word, I have the words up there for you. Hine, and that's the picture of Yeshua ascending, actually. So if you, all right, up there. All right, behold, and whenever you see a behold, a hine in the Bible, it's like, look at this. Wow, you know, look, pay attention. "Behold, my servant," say avdi, it's my servant. Of course, Messiah and Israel also sometimes in throughout Isaiah is the servant of the Lord. And the two are interrelated, and sometimes it's talking about the Messiah, and sometimes he's talking about Israel. And that's a reason for that. But he says, "My servant will prosper," and the root is shachal. Let's say sachal. Okay? And it means, listen, it doesn't really mean prosper. It means he will understand and adapt to needs. That's what the Hebrew is. He'll understand and adapt to needs. So what would be the need? Well, he's talking about here, I think, very clearly, the need for Israel and for all humanity, because he goes down further. He'll sprinkle in verse 15. He'll sprinkle many nations. So the need for Israel and all humanity is redemption. Now let's move further. And here's the three words I want you to really catch. It says he will be high. Let's say the word in Hebrew, room. Room, like a room. Just room, not a room. Just room. All right. So room means to elevate for an exalted goal. To elevate for an exalted goal. And then it says he'll be lifted up. The Hebrew root is nasa. Let's say nasa. Means to be raised up or lifted up. Be raised up. And then it says, and he'll be greatly exalted. It's using future tense or imperfect tenses in all these, but these are the roots I'm giving you. Let's say the word gava. Gava. And it says ma'od. Gava ma'od, really. Greatly, very, ma'od, like you say, tov ma'od, very good in Hebrew. Greatly, or very. So this word means, listen, to rise very high through concentration of elements. Is that amazing or what? This is from the best book on Hebrew etymology you can get. To rise very high through concentration of elements. It means to soar. So here you have in this one verse the Messiah's tree death, if you will, the death on the cross, the tree death, room. Then you have his resurrection, nasa, him being elevated, elevated as the tree, raised up, lifted up, and then you have his ascension, gava, him soaring, rising through the heaven of into the heaven of heavens. And, you know, Paul speaks about the third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12, I think. And heavens is Shemayim, Hashemayim. Say Shemayim, Hashemayim. The heavens. It's a word that's never in the singular. It's not just heaven. It's the heavens. It's plural, just like Elohim, just like Chaim, life, just like Mayim, water. There was another one we used this morning, I was thinking. But anyway, so all that, isn't that amazing? All in that one verse of Scripture. Never saw that before until yesterday. And then it says Acts, back to Acts 1:3. Look at 1:3 of Acts. We're going to get to this ascension more in a minute. It's amazing. To them it says he showed himself to be alive after his suffering through many convincing proofs, appearing to them for 40 days. So remember those appearances we've talked about, some of them in the last couple weeks. So I wasn't here last week. We were in Israel, but before that, to Miriam from Magdala, alone in the garden, to three other women, then to Peter, then to the two disciples, perhaps on the road to Emmaus, perhaps a married couple, which people don't often think about. We don't know. Then to the 10 without Thomas, no Thomas there, in the upper room. Then to the 11, especially to Thomas. Remember, he says, Thomas, you don't believe. And then to seven shlichim by the lake of Galilee, in the Galilee, and that's where we talked about my last time here. The Great Commission was given there. Also to over 500 at a mountain in Galilee. And actually, that's, I think, going north from Galileo, but you get idea of a mountain or a hill when it says, you know, it could have been very high, we don't know. And eventually, after his ascension to Saul or Paul, which is, of course, in the book of Acts, and a total of 12 or 13 appearances. Keep going with those appearances, Miranda, if you could keep going with those appearances. There was another one, there's another one, and these are some math course with Peter, the do you love me? Ahava, would he be the Hebrew three times? Keep going, let's see. Oh, there's another one, yeah. He appeared in the burger, at Burger Place. It was unbelievable in Jerusalem. Best hamburger I've ever had. Francis brought her salad over from another place, of course. But all the police, Israeli police, were there. I mean, I just surrounded, police, everywhere. They all love that place. Just coming in at lunchtime. That was a really... really neat place to find. It's near Ben Yehuda Street, right at the foot of Ben Yehuda Street, basically. So definitely hope to get there again next time if I go. All right, so verses 4 and 5 says, now while staying with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father promised, which he said, you heard from me, for John immersed with water, but you will be immersed in the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, not many days from now. How many days? How many days? How difficult is it to wait? How difficult it is to wait. You know, they had to wait. They didn't know when it's going to happen, but they had to wait. So, verse 6, when they gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he said, of course, no, I'm never going to restore the kingdom to Israel. The church is going to become the new Israel of God, and God, I'm finished with the Jews, and you know they've upset me so much that like that Israeli tour guide you saw, and so I'm done with the Jews. Oh, thank God he didn't say that. Thank God God doesn't give up, and though we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And I think it's 2 Timothy 2:12, thank God for his faithfulness, as the prophets say, and there is a future physical kingdom promised to King David and his seed many times in Scripture. And to them it meant the full restoration from exile, from the Galut, the Babylonian exile, later the diaspora, which is after the temple, Second Temple is destroyed. But a future physical kingdom. And he said to them, it's not in your place to know the times or seasons which the Father has placed under his own control. You mean we can't calculate the date or year of Yeshua's return? What? I thought some of us here had it down. You have the exact precise date, don't you? Isn't there a few in here that... Listen, when I was a new believer, there was a really big book, famous book called 88 Reasons Why, what is it? You know, why the rapture had to occur, I think, in 1988, right? Yeah, 88 reasons, something like that. And... it happened. Did you miss it? Did you miss it? All right. So, but I love this because he said, it's not your place to know the times. He says, don't be preoccupied with that. He said, but you will, this is what you're to be occupied with, but you will receive power, verse 8, when the Ruach HaKodesh comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and throughout all Judah and Samaria as far as you can go. Just keep going till you can't go any further. To the end of the earth. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep going. We are not to be preoccupied and obsessed with when Yeshua is returning to set up his kingdom. He will do it. He is going to do it. Calculating dates, speculating signs regarding the end. Rather, we're to be focused on being filled with God's Holy Spirit in order to be his witnesses to all nations. Is that clear? Amen? That's what we're to focus on. Oh my goodness, believers get so sidetracked. I don't have the stomach for it anymore, to be honest with you. It's just a distraction. It's a side being sidetracked from what God has called us to do and be here for in a short wisp, cloud wisp or whatever, that's a word, of a time really that we're here, you know, on this planet. He says, in Jerusalem, that's where he starts with. Does God call us to start where it's easiest or most difficult? Listen, even in this trip that we just took, we spent, you know, as Francis said, the time in the Galilee, where Yeshua spent, I heard 70%, some say 80% of his ministry was there in that area. And it's so much more peaceful. Then you go to Jerusalem and it's busy and it's intense and spiritually intense. And it is. And God, I love this. Yeshua said, you start where it's toughest. Start where there's rejection, where everyone doesn't like you. How far should they travel then? At what border? And of course, it also means start with the Jewish people. We believe that. Romans 1:16. Start with it. But at what border should they stop? How far should they travel? Are there still unreached people groups? Absolutely. Absolutely. So he goes as far as you can go, he said. And verses 9 and 10, after saying all this, while they were watching, look what happened. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they were staring into heaven, as he went up, suddenly two men stood with them in white clothing. Who were these two men? Anyone know the names? Maybe Michael and Gabriel. We don't know. Two powerful angels, you know, Michael and Gabriel. But we don't really know. And I think of the verse, Proverbs 30, verse 4. This is a great, really cool verse in the Tanakh, especially important when we're talking about even the Messiah and his deity. And it says, who has ascended into heaven or descended? Ascension, maybe this is ascension following incarnation. Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? Proverbs 30, verse 4. Yeshua said in Acts 1:11, said this, one of the two men said, this Yeshua, as he ascended up, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. I can't stand those pictures, but that's where these are the only pictures you can find. It's a ballerina going up to heaven. But these are, when you look for pictures of his ascension, this is what you find. This is what you find, but I'll get to something in a second here. But they said, so, you know, think of the two men and Yeshua, Genesis 18. Remember in Genesis 18, Bereshit 18, three men appearing to Abraham. Remember that? And I always remember in my car driving up to New England to teach at a Bible school about 4 or 5 hours from being in Pennsylvania, and I'm driving up. Don't ever do this, but I was younger, and I did. In those days, long drive, and I'm in my Volkswagen, and I'm looking at my Hebrew Bible on the seat next to me, you know, and I remember seeing there that this verse, and clearly it says the two men, remember the two men went, three men, two men went on to Sodom, to Sodom, and one, and then it says Abraham stood still before the Lord. The third one was the Lord, and it's Yud Hey Vav Hey. The third one was God, and the other two, as we know, when they came to Sodom, they were identified as angels. You know, God's servant angels, Malachim. And so, I remember how excited I was when I saw that. I didn't get in an accident. Don't do that. But here's a picture again: two men and Yeshua, very similar to that. Three. Verse 11 and 12, look at this. They said, men of Galilee, why do you keep standing here staring into heaven? This Yeshua who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven. And then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath, a Shabbat's day journey. Luke 1, Daniel 7:13, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. Notice the cloud. He came to the Ancient of Days. Luke 21:27, and then, Yeshua is speaking, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Or Revelation 1:7, John writes, look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him. Yes, amen. Now, Mark's version of the ascension is in Mark 16:19. I'll just read this verse of it. Then the Lord Yeshua, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Luke's version, Luke 24:50-53, then it says, then Yeshua led them as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them, probably maybe the Aaronic benediction, the priestly blessing. And while blessing them, he departed from them, and was taken up into heaven. And worshiping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, praising God. So immediately after this commission in Acts 1:8, the ascension occurs. Notice that. Yeshua was lifted up by a cloud of glory out of their sight and taken into heaven. He was ascending to the right hand of God the Father, Avinu Sheba Shemayim, our Father in the heavens. From there, he would send the Holy Spirit to empower them for ministry. There, he would also sit to represent them, providing access into God's presence. Verse 9a tells us that he was lifted up. This is the passive form of the Greek eparo and means to lift up as in the hoisting of a sail. And a little more on those Greek words in a moment, but right now we're going to see a little video. Bear with it a little bit if you don't like fighting, but you can cover your eyes, but it's not. Yeah. But I want you to see, especially because the end of this. The end of this.
That's it.
I know I put in a little too much fighting, but actually the guy said to him in the ear, Mr. Smith's, it says, fighting. I think it's the second Matrix movie, but that's the best picture I have of the Ascension. Well, I imagine it more than there's the other things. So he says to him something like, it's inevitable, or something like, you're going to lose, it's inevitable. But praise the Lord, he didn't lose, amen? He wins, okay? So it makes you want to see that movie. Makes you definitely want to see, I know. Praise the Lord. Okay. So where am I? Let's see. By my notes. All right. So verse 9, verse B tells us a cloud received him out of their sight. The Greek word received is hupolambano. Hupolambano means to take or bear up by supporting from beneath. So literally the cloud took under him. It took under him. He appeared to be supported by the cloud. Now, this may have been like the cloud connected with the transfiguration, and which descended on the tabernacle, the Mishkan, the tabernacle in the wilderness, in the desert, and the cloud that filled Solomon's temple. Many believe it was the Shekhinah, let's say Shekhinah, the Shekhinah or Shekhinah, really, cloud, a symbol of the glory of God. In other words, it was a supernatural cloud, a symbol of the glorification of the Son. He was resuming his pre-incarnate glory, the glory he had before his incarnation. Verse 10 describes the ascent by the words, while he was departing. Departing is the Greek word poriomai. This was a common word that meant to go on a journey. This suggests to us the ascension was a journey, not merely a disappearance. The Son of Man, who was the Son of God, was passing through the heavens into the heaven of heavens, into the very presence of God to appear there for us. Is that amazing or what? Hebrews 4:14, Hebrews 7:20, Hebrews 9:24 tell about it. Verse 11 here, Acts 1, describes the ascent by the words, this Yeshua who has been taken up from you into heaven, taken up is the Greek word analambano, we mentioned before, to receive up. This declares the fact of Messiah's arrival in heaven. By the testimony of two angels from heaven, we are told he had reached his destination. Hallelujah. We find the disciples almost trance-like and bewildered, staring after the Lord into the sky. Not exactly like those guys in that video we just saw. They were kind of like, no, I don't know. But they were staring still in the sky. And why was that? Well, the Greek text indicates they continued to stare or gaze up into heaven, partly, I'm sure, because they were amazed and perplexed, but partly because they didn't want to see him go. And perhaps also they were waiting to see if he would soon return. Everywhere we turn in the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant, we find Adon Yeshua, the Lord Yeshua, declared to be in heaven at the right hand of the Father in the place of glory, power, and provision for us. He represents us now and as our mediating high priest or Kohen Gadol, giving us access to God, God our Father, by his present intercession. And we don't have time to mention all the verses, but I'll mention a few. But in Hebrews, he's filled with these verses. Also, 1 John 2:1, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua the Messiah, the righteous one. Romans 8:34, he's interceding for us now. He is seated that he has all authority and sovereignty as the King of Kings. But we also see him standing, in that he is interceding for us as the great high priest. It's mentioned in Acts 7, verses 55 and 56, when, remember, Stephen is about to be martyred. They're going to kill him. And he looks up, he says, I see Yeshua standing at the right hand of God. So seated in that the work is finished, that sin has been paid for, but also standing, interceding. John's vision of a glorified Yeshua in Revelation 1, verses 13 through 16. He's, of course, standing. He represents us, but we represent him. We have the assurance of his advocacy in heaven and his presence here with us on earth. But we are to go into all the world to make disciples of all nations, to the Jew first, representing him. His advocacy and intervention is stronger than our adversary and his accusations. Mentioned in Zechariah 3, Romans 8, 34, Revelation 12, 10, accuser of the brethren, of course. Other passages of Yeshua's ascension are Psalm 68, 18, Ephesians 4, 8. We mentioned the one in Isaiah 52, 13, and victory and exaltation that or ascension that's anticipated. Psalm 110, verse 1, we had in our responsive readings, the Lord declares, Adonai declares to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Messiah would be David's son, but also David's Lord. Yeshua made reference to this passage in the Psalms, one who shared God's throne as God himself. Yeshua's provocative question in John 6, 62, what if you, he asked, what if you see the Son of Man, speaking of himself, Ben-Adam, going back up to the place where he was before? Then throughout John 7:33, 8:21, 14:2, 16, Yeshua said, I'm going to just read the verses. Yeshua said, I am with you only a little while longer, and then I'm going to the one who sent me. I'm going away. You will look for me and die in your sin. Where I am going, unless you believe I am he, where I am going, you cannot come. A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again, in a little while, you will see me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare a place. Would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Then some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by telling us a little while and you will no longer see me, and again in a little while you will see me? And because I'm going to the Father, they kept on saying, what's this he is saying? Can you imagine that? What's this he is saying? A little while, we don't know what he's talking about. So they were pretty confused. That's John 16. Reminds me of that song in the old movie by Groucho Marx. Hello, I must be going. I really, really, something like that. I really must be going. That's so funny. They're my favorites. John 20, verse 17, Yeshua says to Miriam at the tomb, stop clinging to me, remember, after the resurrection, for I have not yet gone up to the Father. And he says, go to my brothers and tell them, I am going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. 2 Corinthians 5, 16. So from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Messiah according to the flesh, yet now we no longer know him this way. In other words, we know him no longer as the one who came to earth in the flesh, but as the ascended, exalted, glorified high priest and king. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Now, Ephesians 2, 6 says that he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua, that God did that. Hebrews 4 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 12 say, therefore, since we have a great Kohen Gadol, high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua ben Elohim, Yeshua son of God, let us hold firmly to our confessed allegiance. Therefore, he's also able to save completely those who draw near to God through him, always living to make intercession for them. That's 7:25. For such a Kohen Gadol was fitting for us, holy, guiltless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. That's 7:25 and 26. 8:1. Now, here is the main point being said. We do have such a Kohen Gadol who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. For Messiah did not enter into the holies made with hands, 9:24, Hebrews, counterparts of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in God's presence on our behalf. Let us run with endurance the race set before us, focusing on Yeshua. So it says he has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. And the verse we also read at the end of our responsive reading, 1 Peter 3:22, he's gone into heaven and he's at the right hand of God with angels and authorities and powers subjected to him. So the ascension is the connecting link, the link between the past ministry of Messiah and his present and future ministry. J. Hampton Keithy said, by the word ascension, we mean the removal of Yeshua the Messiah from the earth into a different place and sphere, which we call heaven. We call Hashemayim, the heavens. A place of sovereign control and authority, as seen by both Isaiah, and I'm editing a little bit, by both Isaiah chapter 6 and John, Revelation 1. The ascension completes the resurrection. It is important to remember, he says, that the writers, and again I'm editing, messianizing a little bit here, but that the writers of the New Covenant were thoroughly convinced that Yeshua was now at the right hand of God, the Father, and that through the gift of the Holy Spirit, they were in union with him and were, by his commission and through his ascended authority and power, left here to continue the work which he began. That's what they believed, the writers of the New Testament. They were very clear on that. He's up there now, and we're to continue his work. So he is ascended and seated at God's right hand, and we're seated with him. He has all power, authority, and provision available for us. He's advocating for us in heaven, and he's with us by his Spirit on earth. We are commissioned to represent him here as he represents us there. We will one day be physically with him, but now we're sent out to be world changers. Everyone in this room today, world changers in his place. We are winners, not losers. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8:37, of course. The one who has defeated death and the devil, who will win every case where he's asked to against our sins and Satan's accusation. We have to ask him. If we don't pray, I was going to mention, I was in the engine room before the service a little bit. I went and there were people in the engine room that's behind the power of everything that happens. They were praying, four people praying in the room. Lee Organizing and Jessica and Don and Dr. Martina, they were all praying, interceding, and that's the power behind anything that God does. People praying, interceding. And so he will win every case, our Messiah will, our Kohen Gadol, but we have to go to him for the cases, like the attorney, you know. And he will win every case he's asked to against our sins and Satan's accusation. Now he rests on a throne, he reigns on a throne, and he's our priest and king. So I close Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, all those that suffered for their faith, that went in Hebrews 11, that trusted God and through every different difficult circumstance, let us also get rid of every weight and the entangling sin. Let us run with endurance the race set before us, focusing on what? The time when he's coming back, the date? Focusing on Yeshua. Focusing on Yeshua, the initiator and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and he has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, we thank you.